feels so left. However, before I give all the instructions by going to the report, I do know that there is an acting DJ. There have been more than one acting DJ who is the DJ of the. So the other day, this one, and the other day, that one. So today, I'm told it's Mr. Morodova. So Mr. Morodova will just press the committee and tell the committee when they should expect, when should we expect the report, and what are the difficulties, instead of me knowing the budget, please yourselves to tell the committee what have urged you not to be ready. There's a hand of Honorable Only Sadin before you speak, or you want to have a or definitely there will be this. Over to you, acting DJ. And just before that, the agenda, the learning must just read the agenda for today. Adopt the agenda then you pass.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members, and good morning to the department. The agenda for today, Wednesday, 4th of November, is as follows. The Chair has already just made the opening and welcome. I have taken apologies from Honorable Mantashe, Honorable Tongwane, Honorable Mbeka, and Honorable Kowama for the apologies I've had today. And there we have the adoption of the agenda. And then it will be the briefing as Chairperson has mentioned on the progress regarding or following the override visit. Deliberation on that regulation, and then the committee will then remain to consider the minutes of the 21st of October. Thank you very much.
There's the agenda in front of us that we have with it. Honorable Buffering is proposing the adoption. Honorable Mzobo and Pastor Vic, they are circling, so the agenda is adopted. Over to you, Mr. Motoba.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Maybe if I can again table the apologies of the VG, Mr. Tobias Martin, Ms. Eddie Muiva, GDG IES, and Mrs. Tengen, DDG Corporate Services. Honorable Chairperson, the report. The reason for not being ready is not to say that the report is not complete. We did complete the report, however, there's a process that we agreed to with the court's agenda that before the sign of this report, either by the minister, the director general, and submission of the second order report on the 30th of November to the national trader, there must be some technical processes that we embark upon to verify the information and use our own internal audit to do that process. So that was the only technicality that delayed the finalization of the report. It's there, but we are still conducting the verification process so that whatever we present here, they should not come back and say in province X or labor center X, the numbers that were put there were 26 and we only found evidence for 22. That is the only technicality that we are embarking upon. But within a week or so, by the end of next week, that process, I'm told, should be complete and members. Honorable members can then, if the diaries and schedule permit, call us back to do that, because then we have done the quality assurance on our report.
Mr. Ortega, that the report members need that we must look at our program and shift it around so that we accommodate this report. We just taking it before we arrive. Thank you. Honorable. It is working. It's making, if it is making noise, it's working. What is making noise? Is it the key? I think Pusha is going to come back and I'll put stuff to that one. Okay, can we then go to the progress report?
Thank you again, Honorable Chairperson. Maybe for the benefit of other members, I have on my right Ms. Chilwane, who is the chief, that is the chief director, provincial office, Pumalang, Ms. Matabuche, Ms. Fiki Shwane, Mr. Luton Dennison, who is the OHS inspector, if you can just. And Mr. Koza, who is the deputy director in Maleland. He hosted you when you visited the province. And the others may be familiar with Mr. Deki, Mr. Maduna, who is the siblings, the DDG LKIR, and the chief of staff. Who doesn't need any introduction to herself, and Mr. President, Mr. Court. What we thought of doing, Honorable Chairperson and members, and maybe apologies that because of the changes and so on, you may not have had time to familiarize yourself with the report. We had to work until very last night with the Guatemalan finalized and certain aspect. But the report has two parts. And the reason why it is like that is precisely because the issues that honorable members came across in Umalang are not unique to that province. They affect other provinces as well. Now, over and above the expectations in terms of the follow-up that you wanted them to do, we thought of also giving you additional information on the interventions that we're also coordinating at national level to assist not only Mpumalanga but all other provinces because the problems are common. So Ms. Chilwane will start off by giving a report on your visit, and then I will then also add on the other interventions that the different branches in the department are doing to support and deal with the problems that you've identified, and the DDGs for the different branches are here. Ms. Nanga, for example, is standing in for, she's a TDDG IES, so we do have people from the different programs who will be able to answer specific questions that members may want to follow. So I will give over to Ms. Chilwane to present the first part. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor Sipolo. Members and officials, I'm told the aircon is faulty. It is known that the venue that we are in is faulty. I don't know what they're trying to do. I don't know if you can open the windows there. Oh, okay, so I think let's do that. Windows and doors. That's all that we can do. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm going to present a progress report regarding the oversight visit by the Portfolio Committee on Labor. On the week of the 14th to 18th September 2015, that's the background, the Labour Portfolio Committee visited Mpumalanga province, specifically the Maleland area, and the oversight visit was done at Maleland. It was with regards to checking and inspecting compliance on the five funds that were identified by the portfolio committee. And the funds that were identified were Inyoni Butere, Baba Epek, Tomahawk, Nshumi, and Bono. There's a typing error, I apologize for that, it's Bono. According to Section 30 of the Occupational Health and Safety Act, there is provision that an employer can be issued with a contravention notice, and after they have been issued with a contravention notice, the law gives them 60 days to appeal to the chief inspector. If at the expiry of the 60 days the employer fails to comply or to appeal, then it becomes an offence and thus can be transferred to the court for prosecution in terms of Section 38 of the OHS Act. To date, the 60 days has not yet elapsed, and the employer, meaning the farmers that were inspected and who were issued with our contravention notices, have not yet expired, and they have not yet appealed to the chief inspector. The first farm that was visited was the Inyoni Buttery. Just to give insight on the operations of Inyoni, they harvest citrus fruit and operate a packaging business. The farm was inspected on the 15th of September 2015. And the findings of the inspection were that the farm did not comply with the provisions of the Occupational Health and Safety Act and its regulations. On conclusion of the inspection, the farm was issued with a contravention notice, and they were given 60 days to comply with the identified contravention. A prohibition notice was also issued to stop construction work on the packaging area because of non-compliance with construction regulation. A prohibition notice was also issued to stop a forklift from operating, as it did not have a valid competency certificate as provided under the OHS regulation. The following slide indicates the sections in the regulations, the OHS regulations that the farm failed to comply with. The first one was on general safety regulations, that is regulation 2. The farm failed to provide temporary employees with TPE. The next one, environmental regulation, regulation 2.1. The farm failed to ensure that the cold room doors can open from the inside, which means that they could only be opened from the outside. On facilities regulations, the farm fails to provide personal facilities to employees. On hazardous chemical substance, the farm fails to conduct an assessment on the chemicals used at the workplace in order to identify risk and also come up with intervention. On general machinery regulations, the fails to ensure that operators of machinery are adequately trained. And on further equipment regulation, it was found that they had to ensure that all fire equipment is safe. And that's why they were given the prohibition and contravention notices, and they have been given 60 days to correct that. The next farm that was inspected is Toma Hoff Farm. The farm does packaging and they also have a citrus fruit. An inspection was conducted on the 16th of September on this farm. And the findings was that the employer is not complying with the Occupational Health and Safety Act and its regulations. And the enforcement was to issue a contravention notice. And the employer was also given 50 days to correct the contraventions. The list of contraventions are as follows. On electrical installation regulations, the employer failed to ensure that the distribution boards are labeled and covered. On the facility regulation, the employer failed to provide personal facilities to employees. And further again on facilities regulations, the
employer paid to ensure that the dining room facilities provided to the employees are in good working condition. On the environmental regulations, the employer failed to ensure that the cold room doors are not obstructed. And on general safety regulations, the employer failed to conduct a risk assessment on his premises, as certain walls in the package infection were unstable and could collapse. The next farm that was infected was in Shumi Farm. They also have a citrus group and operate as a packaging business. This particular farm was inspected on the 17th September 2015. And the finding was that the farm did not comply with the OHS Act and its regulations. The enforcement was that a contravention notice was issued, and Shumi Farm was also given 60 days to comply with the identified contraventions as required by the OHS Act. A prohibition notice was also issued to the employer, which instructed him to stop using all four of the wire stitcher machines as they posed an immediate danger to employees as they were not using relevant personal protective equipment. The list of contraventions from Shumi Farm is as follows. On general safety regulations, the employer failed to provide employees with personal protective equipment. And on fire equipment regulations, the employer failed to service a fire extinguisher. On facilities regulations, the employer failed to provide showers to its employees. On facilities regulations, the employer failed to provide personal facilities. For example, there are no lockers for employees to utilize to keep their personal effects. On facilities regulations, the employer failed to provide change rooms for the employees. Again, on facilities regulations, the employer failed to provide a dining room or an eating place for employees. On hazardous chemical regulations, the employer failed to conduct an assessment on the chemicals used on the farm. And on noise-induced hearing loss, the employer failed to conduct an assessment to determine if any person might be exposed to noise that is in the packaging area. The two farms, Bono and Umbaba, at the time of the visit on the 14th and 15th of September, there were no OHS specialists at the time. There was only one that was available, but unfortunately, he had to attend to an investigation at Kusile an incident at Kusile Power Station. So that is the reason why on those specific days there was no OHS inspector. The two farms were not inspected during the visit. However, prior to the visit by the Portfolio Committee on Labor, there were inspections that were conducted. But on OHS, it was a basic inspection, reason being that it was inspected by a generalist inspector. So they look at basic issues, and if they find out that there is something amiss, they will inform the specialists that are at the provincial office to go and conduct an in-depth investigation or inspection. But at the time of inspection prior to the oversight visit, they were found to be complying in terms of other legislation such as the ECEA, and they were making contributions to the UIF. They had letters of good standing from the compensation fund. However, because they were also visited during the oversight visit, we have scheduled them for an in-depth OHS inspection on the 23rd and 24th of November. So we will send an OHS specialist from the provincial office to go and conduct that OHS inspection. Gracias. taking over to police issues. Honorable Chairperson, before I stop for Ms. Damrotova to take over, I also just want to give you insight on the 6 employees that were dismissed at Unifarm subsequent to the oversight visit by the Portfolio Committee. We tracked down those employees and then we assisted them to complete the CCMA forms. And we reported their matter to the CCMA, and we followed up on the matter. The matter was heard in October, but unfortunately the employer did not pitch. So the commissioner awarded a default award in which the employer is compelled to compensate the 6 dismissed workers. They have to be compensated for 4 months. And the first payment, it will be paid by the employer in installments, and the first payment is due on the 16th of November. We also assisted them in terms of, according to the CCMA report, they were satisfied with the award. In terms of UIF, we also assisted them to lodge a UIF claim. We went to a visiting point that is closer to their place of stay, but we agreed with all of them that they will come there so that we assist them in lodging the UIF claim. But only 3 turned up on that day, and then when we go for our next visit at the satellite office, we will remind the other 3 to come and lodge their UIF claims. Thank you. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. As I said, that the issues that you, the Portfolio Committee, identified in Mpumalanga are not unique. We just also wanted to paint a picture at the national level and how we are getting the department to assist provinces in dealing with these matters. Firstly, members will acknowledge that a sectoral determination is currently in existence, setting out conditions of employment and minimum wages in the agricultural sector. And secondly, there is a document that was prepared after extensive discussions at NELEC on the vision for labor relations in agriculture. And there is also a protocol that has been agreed to with a number of farming organizations regarding access to funds for us to conduct inspections. And this is not only confined to Mpumalanga. And this protocol, among the people that were consulted, are the people that we have a working relations with, such as the Transvaal Agricultural Union of South Africa, the Agricultural, that is AgriSA, the National African Farmers Union, NAFU, and the Agricultural Employers Organization, that are major players in this area. Now, there are a number of other interventions that we are also involved in. The issue of housing, that is addressing the plight of housing in agricultural sector. This issue, Honorable Chairperson, is something that is quite broad because it goes beyond agricultural workers. It affects workers within the mining sector, the domestic sector, migrant workers, workers working in projects, construction projects that are always removed from places of stay. And there are a number of initiatives that the department is involved in together with other departments. If I can give an example of the Mugana, there's a task team, inter-ministerial task team, that is chaired by the EPC president. And among the briefs is to also look at the whole broader question of the mining, that is housing close to the mining sectors, and a drug fund and fair in George. And amongst our guests was the Minister for Agriculture. And one of the issues that came up was this very same issue around the collaboration with the Ministry for Human Settlement to address the plight of workers in agriculture, because whenever there are dismissals and so on, or the change of farm ownership, there's always a problem of removal of people working and staying in the farm. So it is a national problem that the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Human Settlement and a number of municipalities have acknowledged, and in some cases they are trying to their initiatives with the land affairs to start agri-villages and so on to try and address the plight of these workers and so on. Secondly, the members may be aware of sectoral determination that provides standards that must be met, especially if the employer is to deduct money from salaries of workers. If the accommodation is below those standards, it is normally free. However, free does not mean that workers must be subjected to conditions that are not inevitable. And hence, the issue of basically ensuring that the accommodation that workers stay in, whether it's agriculture, mining, domestic work, construction, etc., meet the minimum standards as set out in the sectoral determination. And we are in a process. Currently, we have learned quite a lot from the mining PAGISA process that we are currently involved in. And one of the things that the Minister of Agriculture has agreed to do was to jointly convene a session wherein we will invite other departments, especially basic education, because children are forced to travel a lot of kilometers moving around farms, because if they cross farms, they are accused of trespassing, and in some instances they get shot because they are either mistaken as thieves in farms. And honorable members may know of our interventions and the initiatives. Only I think this year we also had in August a Child Labour Day in line with other international communities to highlight the plight of children living and working, that is where their parents are working in farms, because often they are also used as child labour in all those farms. So these are initiatives that we run every year. In fact, we have this big event targeting mostly towns that are closer to farms to highlight the plight of children and that the farmers should refrain from using them in their operations, because child labor is something, it's a no-no, and I think there are conventions that support that. And we are hoping that, and we have invited ministries of social development, ministers of basic education in all those events that we have so that they can assist us and we can work jointly with them in dealing with this problem. There's an issue that we also picked up, and this thing is not unique. It is also something that is emerging from projects that are funded from DTI, especially where the land reform interventions are taking place, and increasingly previous farm workers are becoming farm owners as part of the cooperatives, and they're owning the farms. Now there are new problems there in that in those farms you don't have the employer-employee relationship. The farm workers themselves are the owners of the farm. So the Department of Trade and Industry has got a legislation that we have assisted them and made sure that in the process it is aligned with the labor relations, but at the same time it puts farm workers being the employers themselves, because they cannot put responsibility of occupational health and safety and others to other people. They are the owners and they have to take responsibilities. But they also have challenges around access to markets because once they own farms, they also need to access the market and make sure that they are able to sell their fresh produce and get the value out of those and make sure that the cooperatives can generate enough money and buy all the other equipment, the chemicals that they need and so on. And this issue, Honorable Chairperson, is a big issue that we are dealing with the Ministry of Land Reform and the Minister of Agriculture. In fact, they also had a roadshow in the Eastern Cape to also address some of these issues. But we will be taking up this matter in these forums. And I think the Small Business Ministry, the Department of Trade and Industry in terms of exports and so on, and in their BEE codes, are taking this matter quite seriously to make sure that they begin to assist, especially the upcoming emerging farmers who are getting land, to be able to not only sell their fresh produce in the existing boards, the meat board, the wheat board, the sugar boards, and so on, at prices that are reasonable so that they can sustain themselves. And we also know that some of the small emerging farms, farmers, especially the National African Farmers Union, they are constantly raising this issue because access to the market is a big issue for them. And one of the things that we also do is to conduct information session with farm workers and farmers. And this process is mainly done through a number of interventions. Amongst them include us giving money to a number of organizations under our strengthening of civil society to assist us in making sure that workers in the rural areas where units are not necessarily active can assist the department in making sure that workers know their rights. We fund these organizations. We know that the money that we have is not sufficient, and we are doing our best to get additional resources so that those workers that are not organized can get access to funds. And we're hoping that in these sessions we'll also invite other departments such as trade and industry to assist us in making sure that they get access to trading information. Then there's a big issue around undocumented foreign workers that are also prevalent in most farms. Now, I think the number of points that we want to raise here, the first one is that the current labor laws that we have protects every worker within the borders of the country, documented or undocumented. Workers' rights are human rights and they apply to us. However, there are a number of things that that we know are happening and that local farmers in most areas will choose to employ undocumented farm workers and they will keep them under conditions that are unbearable and they will pay them salaries that are below the sectoral determination. This problem is not unique to Mpumalanga. It's a nationwide problem. Now the question then is, what are we doing about this as the department? Firstly, honorable members, there are blitz inspections that we normally conduct, and we are hoping to invite you to join some of them. Now, we are also planning youth operations. I think in the immigration board that we are also part of, and following the xenophobic incidences that happened, there was a call for the Department of Labor, the Department of Home Affairs, supported by the police to also intensify our blitz, not only in the farming sector, but also the private security, the hospitality, and the domestic sectors. And there was also a call for us to look at changing our working hours, because if you look at the hospitality sector, the restaurant and so on, they operate after hours when our inspectors have actually gone off and all that. And that is where most of them use undocumented migrant workers. They are nowhere anywhere in their books. They hate them using chips and so on. And what we are planning is blitz inspections that we will conduct weekends after hours, but also them being joint operations, so that and the way we are going to do it is that we will not make a lot of noise around where they are going to take place, because nowadays what we have since realized, Honorable Chairperson, with this issue of having to make appointments, by the time you get there, all these people have been moved or they're told not to come to work and so on. But with the operations, I think we use the powers of the inspectors and the access control to make sure that we intensify those campaigns. And employers who are found, like I said, there's nothing wrong in terms of application of legislation, but there are issues here. Any employer in terms of the Immigration Act who is found to have employed an undocumented foreign worker can be prosecuted in terms of the Immigration Act. But also a worker who is found to have worked in any place and did not have the necessary papers, we will assist them to get all the remunerations that were due to them in line with the sectoral determination if they were underpaid, and make sure that before they are deported to their country of origin, they receive all the benefits in line with other workers local, so that you begin to deal with this problem of employers paying, underpaying people, knowing that when they are arrested, they will be simply deported. In the construction sector, they employ undocumented foreign workers, and they promise to pay them on a fortnightly basis. And the last day, when it's payday, normally the contractors phone Home Affairs and police to come in. And that's where you see undocumented workers, in some cases, scaling electric fence, running away from arrest and leaving behind their salaries, because they fear being arrested. And this thing is quite prevalent in the construction sector. So we are looking into those sectors as we target them. And we do have this police inspection. In some cases, they have not received a lot of media coverage, but when we do them, we are hoping to also get the media so that they can send a message to those people who continue to practice those kind of activities. On education of farm workers and farmers on the basic conditions of employment and related sectoral determination, like we said, we fund the strengthening of civil society, and we are reviewing agreements under the labor policy and industrial relations to make sure that they extend coverage as much as possible. And we are also in discussions with the unions that operate within the agricultural sector to also intensify their recruitment campaigns so that they can bring these workers in the collective bargaining system, so that they can also fall in that aspect. Now, the last point, I think my colleague did touch on the inspections that were conducted. And secondly, she did indicate the follow-up inspections after the expiry of the 60 days and the relevant branches, especially IES and Labor Policy and Industrial Relations, will be looking at the results of the follow-up inspections, and I'm sure you are also interested in that, and to make sure that your visits did yield results. There's also an issue around the health of farm workers that I also wanted to highlight. Now, again, this issue is not only confined to the agricultural sector. I'm sure honorable members know about the mining, ex-mine warehouse, the TB and all other associated diseases that follow with the other, the retrenchment, the retirement, and people living in, I mean, when they leave employment. Now, part of the information sessions, which we are also going to involve FEMA and the Rand Mutual Association, and what IES normally conducts either in the form of summits and information sessions, is to sensitize people, including farm workers, on the whole question of exposure to hazardous biological agents, to make sure that workers get to understand their rights, they understand how to go about reporting incidences when they suspect that they may have inhaled or got exposure to chemicals and so on, and also how they should actually go about accessing compensation, because in most cases farm workers, domestic workers, and workers that may not be documented in most cases are the most vulnerable, and they don't know processes and how they can benefit from the existing arrangements. And lastly, we will also be working with the Department of Health, because what we since realized is that when people are exposed or get injured, normally they are put in baggage and then they are dropped at the gates of hospitals, and there is no follow-up by the farmer because they don't want the hospital or the medical facility to associate them with the occupational injury or the disease. So the worker will actually have to find their way to get treatment in the hospital and so on, and hence they will not be compensated. And in the individuals that we have and the discussions that we're having with the Department of Health, we will also be making sure that when we do some of this information session, the mobile clinics that they have are also present in such sessions, so that they can also do health checks and they can also assist farm workers in terms of a number of related ailments that may be emerging as a result of exposure. And I think Honorable Chairperson, my colleague, also touched on the last issue around the actions that they took with regard to workers that were dismissed after having approached themselves with information on one of the farms. So that is, Honorable Chairperson, what we are trying to do as Torrent branches to try and address the plight of not only farm workers, but those vulnerable workers that we work with. Thank you.
Thank you for the information. Members, Mr. Coffin, Honorable Fantastic, and Honorable Olive, and Honorable.
Thank you. Madam Chair, are you? Thank you, Madam Chair. Just two comments from my side. The one is, and I hear the Honourable Member of the Department telling us that they assisted some workers with their CCA applications, they took them there, they filled in forms, whatever they did for them. I find that a little bit disconcerting, in that that's a dispute between employer and employee, and why would the department then pursue that? The department is there to pursue whatever claims they have on their side. In other words, make sure that the UIF was paid, workman's compensation is paid, etc., etc. But to go and intervene in another department, which is the CCMA, and to help those employees pursue that, I find that
wrong, and I'd like them to comment on that, and I'd like to, I personally will pursue that afterwards. The other thing is, I hear also a comment about finding workers who have no work permits or immigrants. Maybe the department can help us, because I think the law's got a bit of a problem here, because the employer can't dismiss them. And that's a real problem. And maybe the department can tell us to give some advice as to what the employer must do if he discovers or she discovers that the employees are there without work permits. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to welcome the report from the department on the oversight visit, the issues that has been raised there. However, one concern to me is that it's mostly focusing on OHF contraventions, but if you look at the status quo, what happened when we visited the farms, I think there are a lot of things that could have been dealt with on the spot instead of shifting into the planned interventions. Like the way in which they remunerate you. If they indeed look at compliance in terms of the remuneration of workers, because we know that although some of them indicated that they are being paid according to the federal determination, we expected the department to have a closer look in terms of the documentation provided by the employers to make sure that indeed what the workers and what the employers are saying has said is indeed the truth. Then we are looking at all the other issues, like the kids that's not going to school, and all the other things like the foreigners and things. And there are a lot of planned interventions, but I don't see clear time frames and what has been done. It seems as if they went back and looked at the challenges and they just planned it, but we need to be outlined in terms of since our visit and after our visit. Did they just plan, or did they ever, do they have an action plan with clear time frames in terms of addressing all these issues? Because if we look at the issues, we think most of them are really urgent issues. Our workers can't be allowed to work under those circumstances. The last issue here is really unfortunate. Whilst we went there and urged the workers to speak to us, and we promised them that they will be secure, their jobs will be secure, that we find out that some of the workers have been dismissed. It's a really unfortunate circumstance. And now we can see why most of them were so scared to speak to us. Because they feared intimidation, they feared victimization, they feared being dismissed, and that's exactly what happened. So I don't know how we should deal with this issue in order to protect the workers. And I think the department should really play its role effectively in terms of advocacy programs, really to inform the employees of their rights and responsibility of their rights, but also the employer of the responsibilities towards these workers. And also do advocacy work on what the consequences will be if they are not complying to the labor legislation. Because even if they know it, it will just strengthen the case of the department if they went on this visit, this oversight visit. Then the last one is, when we look at the farm that hasn't been inspected in terms of OSH, we find that some of them we were only given, or there's only dates for November to farms to do inspections. And it's a bit of a concern to me, because 2 months down the line, they can only secure appointments for infections, whereas we know that there's a lot of there's been a lot of contraventions, and it needed to be dealt with on the short. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just beg your pardon for that presentation, and I thank them for accompanying us on this site visit. I think we did some good work there. I have two comments or questions. The first one is in relation to our discussion on site to say that we need a briefing by Home Affairs. And there's no mention of it in the report from the department, which is fine, but I think we as a committee need to now schedule that meeting urgently with Home Affairs. And the thing that we particularly, just for those committee members who weren't there, you know, we found on every farm except one that there were foreign workers. Only one farm didn't have foreign workers. And when we had a look at the province that we found there, there were a large number of those foreign workers who were not documented. And when we asked the questions about it, we were told that many of those foreign workers had had work permits before the visa regulations changed. And now that the visa regulations have changed, they were not given the renewals of the old type of visa, and they could not get the new work permit, whatever it is. I'm not familiar with Home Affairs rules. And now they are undocumented. And if you look at the numbers, it's about, my estimate is about 10% of the workers on those farms that we visited are Mozambican workers and are not properly documented. Now, what we don't want to see is all of them being immediately dismissed and thrown onto the street. We really don't want that. We also don't want them to be undocumented, and maybe some of them are supposed to go back to their country of origin. I don't know. You know, I'm not in charge of Home Affairs. But I would urge the department, please, that we can get Home Affairs quite urgently to come and talk to us, and we can explain to them what we saw. I would suggest about 10% of the workers we saw were Mozambican workers, and most of them were undocumented, but most of us claim that they had a work permit, but it's not renewed, they no longer have it, or whatever the case is. Now, I don't think we need to leave that. We don't want undocumented people. We don't want people being exploited because they don't have documents, and all of those problems, which I agree with the sentiments expressed by Mr. Moratoba. But I don't think we must just leave it to the department. I think we just discuss and agree that Home Affairs should come and tell us what are they doing. Is it an education program that they need? Do they need to do inspections with the department? Do some workers need to be returned to their home country? Is there a new visa that they can apply for? What is the role of the employer? I think we need some answers. We have to get answers out there in the field. And I think that we as a committee, not the department, but we as a committee need to ask that feedback. The second one is a problem I experienced with an individual person who accompanied us on that trip, who's not from the committee or parliament or the department. I've forgotten the man's name, but I just want to alert the committee to what we saw there. When we arrived at farms, we introduced ourselves to the team that was with us from the department and from parliament, and we had interpreters and all that. And then there was one gentleman who identified himself to Honourable America as a member of parliament. And he told the first farm that we went to and introduced themselves, he said to that farm owners that he was a member of parliament. Then he was locked out of that one farm when we had that bad experience with that farmer who didn't want to let us in. When I then asked him outside on our way to see the houses, the housing for workers, he told me he worked for Telkom. So I then said to him, well, why are you here? And he said, oh, he organized this whole trip for us. I said, how did you organize the whole trip for us? And he said, no, he joined the department's oversight visits on the previous visit to Kwampushwa. So I said, oh, very interesting. But if you work for Telkom, why are you organizing stuff for the Department of Labor or Parliament? No, no. He said he represents the unions, which is the third story he told me. Then I asked him, which union does he represent? No, he's not going to tell me. I said, are you representing a farm workers union? Because then, you know, we might want him along the ship. No, 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 he's not telling me. He's not from the farm workers union. He's from a different union. Now, check this out. My appeal to departments and to the parliamentary officials is, you know, if we're going to have people accompany us on the trip, let's just at least know who they are, know their names, and have some form of identification. It's not actually okay for random people to join us. Maybe he was asked to help other departments. Perhaps, I don't know. But for someone to lie to us about who he is and what he's doing there, creates, you know, a bit of a problem. We all identify ourselves. We say, I'm the chairperson of the Committee of Labour, I'm a member of Parliament, I'm the DG, or I'm the Occupation Health and Safety Officer. But then this random guy who wandered around with us claiming all sorts of different things. I don't think on future visits we should allow people that we don't know. And if they are coming legitimately, I think they must be identified and say, I'm Mrs. So-and-so, I'm sent by the DG or sent by the inspectorate or whatever. That doesn't create chaos. And then we saw that press release from AgriSA where they very angry about our trip. Ms. Moratova said they have a good working relationship with AgriSA. But they put out a press release demanding that we might now invite them whenever we go on oversight. And I don't accept that either. We are not to be dictated to by AgriSA or by trade unions or by other social partners. We are there to parliamentary oversight. We are not there to have someone who claims to be from Telkom telling us what to do, or AgriSA telling us what to do, or anybody else telling us what to do. I really think we as a department have a right to go on what you call it when you don't publicize it, when you go and do an inspection. Unannounced. We have a right to do unannounced inspection. Obviously, we must identify ourselves, so we must have a letter from Parliament or our parliamentary access cards, or the departments must have a letter so that we identify ourselves properly. But really, this environment of unknown people just jumping on our bandwagon and then AGSA demanding they want to be in on everything, I don't think we should listen to these demands, and we should take the right people with us. We know their names, we know they all, and we don't have to answer to other people outside about who, you know, how we conduct ourselves, provided we know who we're taking with us. I don't think we should let that situation get a bit worse. I think we must be in charge. It's our oversight. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Chair. Let me start with the last comment from Honorable Ollis. It's a pity that we were not sensitized to that, because maybe it would have been better if we handled the matter right there so that we are able to know that this person was not supposed to be part of us. I share the same sentiments with him. We can't go with people we don't know, but at least next time, let's share the information that we get, which we think it can impact negatively on our intentions when we do this oversight. Then coming to the report, I join Honorable Frank Gavrey in welcoming it. But there are some clarities that I think I need. The first one is to say, when we visited the farms, yes, three of them had 9 South African workers. In Inyoni, for instance, we were informed that a quarter of employees there were not from South Africa. And our expectation, because we were roughly told that to deal with that, we needed immigration officers. We thought this one is something which could have been pre-handled shortly after our visit. So I want an update what has been done with that. And I want to tie this with information we also received there. I just can't remember now the name of the farm, but we were told by the farmers that they are given a book with permits. So is that law to give a person a book just to sign the employer to personally sign in the both families for employees that are in the fund. So that's also one of the things that needed clarity on when we were there as the committee. So I thought right now we'd be getting feedback on that one. I am happy the report is reflecting that there's a protocol on access to funds. But when we were struggling in the first farm we visited, we had to fight for ourselves as members of parliament. Nobody from the department was bold enough to stand up to that farm that had a competent off-site authority, was asking all sorts of information to an extent that at some stage we were requested to produce our parliamentary identity cards. Because we were struggling to get in. At what stage then are you implementing this protocol if it really exists? Because if there's such protocol on access to farm, I just don't understand the path we were subjected to when we wanted to get into the particular farm. On this issue of dismissed employees, it's a pity that we are not currently handling their case, but if we can be given just one headline or one sentence in terms of saying what really is the link between our visit and their dismissal. Because if it is said subsequent to our visit, they were dismissed, is it actually directly linked to our visit or there were other issues of misconduct that led to a DC and what process is followed? Because why would a person who is dismissed for due to our visit as a quality be comfortable with a default award which is granting the person 4 months compensation? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning to you and members of the college president. I'll tell Madam Chairman to start where Honourable Lumiwe left off with regard to those legit dismissed employees. And it is correct that we need to establish the causal link between our visit there and their dismissal. But in terms of the outcome of the CCMA process is that the employer was not present, a default judgment had been issued, it's an uncontested version of the events that was presented by the employees. Given the high unemployment rate within the country and that the first option is to reinstate employees into the sort of employments from which they were allegedly unfairly dismissed. The fact that those employees were given 4 months compensation would suggest that it was the option of the employees not to be reinstated but rather to be compensated, because that is usually the outcome of such a process. If the employees choose not to be reinstated, then compensation will be the option. So therefore one cannot simply just blanket this have the view that the dismissals as a result of our visit and employees were victimized. Maybe there are other reasons why they dismissed, and I would support Honourable Olive that we need to establish if there's a causal link. If you were to, it's not really our mandate, but I think it's good to know. So coming back to the report, the shortcomings and the contradictions were highlighted by the department that's following our visitors, employees. They also stated somewhere in the report that the stakeholder forums adopted, and then the department lists the number of stakeholder interactions and I'd like to know which were the stakeholders that were sort of engaged with, and the engagement was the seven stakeholder sessions around BCEA and labor laws, and which are those. But I also accept Madam Chair's last point. I also accept that in terms of registration, the 60 days compliance period has not lapsed yet. But my question is that we are driven, you know, largely by an outcome that they need to be strict compliance with this, which is correct on the one hand. But my question is, what do you do to assist and nudge employers towards achieving that compliance? Have we, after 30 days, have 5 employers gone back and engaged in it and said, you know, tell us, you know, how far are you with these things? What do you experience any difficulties, in what way can we assist you to achieve full compliance, which we expect you to achieve at the end of the 6 days, whatever. So we need to, you know, just also, as much as we have this natural compassion for employees that has been exploited and has been mistreated, etc., we need to look at the balance between the employers and their interests, as well as the employees' interests, and how we could assist both parties in full compliance and sort of benefits of the legislation that we put into place. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Maybe before the question that you that I want, I just need clarity before I have an opportunity to respond to questions. One clarity, I think what Nyanga is saying was a sort of thing in my head. On which day, after you have sent this, what do you call it? You issue them with conservation notice. Which dates were those conservation notices given? And which dates did you visit each and every farm that you issued those conservation notices to check whether the content of those conservation notices is being adhered to? Don't generalize with me. Tell me that after this was sent, was done on this day, and on this day, the department went to all of them, and this is what the status. That's the clarity, the question of clarity. Then after that, we can deal with it. Please be honest with us. If you haven't done it, tell us that you haven't done it. You can assist us.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. As I indicated before, we have given them 60 days to comply. But on the 6th, 10th, or 15th, our inspector from Malelan Labor Center, we are not OAS inspector, just went on an advisory and monitoring basis to check what was being done by Inyoni Burberry on the issues of contravention that were raised. They found that they are already addressing some of the issues. For instance, the contravention on drivers who drive forklift, they had already made bookings for them for training. on the 6th of October 2015. So maybe by now they might have already attended the training. We'll find out after the expiry of the 60 days. And then they also found out that they had already provided respiratory equipment for employees who work with chemicals. And they also sent some employees for training and other things they had not yet done. For instance, showers and lockers, personal protective equipment. They indicated that they are still working on that. And then we also visited Insumi Farm on the 7th of October 2015. They were also issued with a contravention notice and also a prohibition notice. But the prohibition notice was revoked on the second day because the employer provided proof that he had trained the operators. And he also provided proof of the PPE. The other things were not yet done at the time of visiting. That was lockers, the eating place, the hazardous chemicals. So we are going to check that when we go to the follow-up meeting. Umbara Estate, we didn't do a follow-up yet. Oh, sorry, we didn't do a follow-up. Those are the ones that were not infected on the day of the oversight visit. And we have scheduled an OHS inspector for an inspection in November. Tomahawk as well, we didn't visit them after, and Bono family.
So you spoke with the employer, your inspector spoke with the employer. But if you say that the employer showed them the proof, that they provided whatever you have issued the notice for, they had provided. Did you speak to the workers? Did you go and see that what the employers are saying is really there? Because the complaints that we got when we were in those farms, that you guys, you don't go to speak with the employers. Now, the proof of this, the proof of the working progress and the proof that the workers have been provided with safety clothing in the day. Yes. I think we've warned the department from the beginning that when you speak with us, we know when it's not the truth. They immediately start being general, because when you know your story, you deal with issue by issue. And I have said from the beginning that I want the lady from Mpumalanga, the HD from Mpumalanga, that when you don't, we have not done it. They have not done it. Then you don't know. I don't see why the HOD will not know when someone else must hear, because when you give that information, when you report, the inspector will say, I went to the office, I met with the management, and this is what the management has said. And after that, I went to field to check whether what the management is saying is correct. This is exactly, if you were not doing that before, when we were with you there, that's what we did. We started with the management, and they told us all the stories that are not unfounded. I'm saying they're unfounded because after that, when we went to the field, it was a different scenario. Now, I'm surprised that the HOD does not have that information. The HOD must ask somebody else whether is that true or not. I don't know how the reporting then is taking place in the department system of health. Because Because you said you should be having that information in your fingertips. You are coming here to report, you have an acting DG, and I'm thinking that before you sit, you come down here. You sit down with her and ask it and the details. You've been with us before. You know the way we engaged. And this makes me very uncomfortable. I did not comment when this report was given. Immediately when you finished speaking, I just thank you and I gave over to members because I didn't want to comment. I wanted to check whether members are seeing what I'm seeing, that the report is general. It is general because if you are going to say you have issues not fixed and 50 days is not yet complete or completed, and this information that we are speaking now, for someone who knows the story or knows the story will say, yes, we have issued, and then we have made, after that, we've been making follow-ups to check. If these employers are not putting the workers under the same hazardous conditions that we're in, you can't be told by them. And now that you have told us, you have mechanisms of randomly going in there, that we did not know before, nothing that stops you to have that information in your fingertips. And what is painful again is that we are forcing you to come and report. You know, you make us to be spooks. You know, to be spies, to go and check and then come back. And then every other thing is going to be general, like you are doing with the old council of Moroto. You are just general and telling us the general information, which is not really going straight targeting to the farm to say, in Eastern Cape, for instance, in that farm and that farm and that farm, this is the current problem. We have inspectors everywhere. And we do this oversight. We don't have time to do oversight now and again. So we must come here and be told information that is not there. For me, this report, it carries nothing. It will carry nothing if you are going to tell us all this. We are supposed to have gone there more than once, those farms, more especially those that were seen, that workers' lives are at stake. And are at stake. You should have gone there more than many times. But there are the ones that you have not gone, and the ones that you have gone and to them, it's not clear whether you did go or you did not go. We're not interested to know what the employers are saying. We're interested to see, to tell us that what the employers are saying, the workers are also saying this. You've been in this field long before us. You've met with other committees, other members of the portfolio committee, but this is what you want. So in future, we are not going to ask this from you, Mr. Morodowa. You've been with us as well. The status that you see in these farms, yourself, you've been acting in this department for ages. We have a problem. We have a problem. And the sooner you sort out the problem of farms and get to farms, all the farms, Mr. Mirotowa, not only in Mpumalanga, when we call you again, we're going to call you, you will be giving us the status of the farms, like we did with the labor centers, and say, you must go to all around the country, give us the status of every labor center. We don't have to say that. We just say to the people that we want the status of the farm workers. And the one that you cannot do because other departments can come in, will understand, and we are going to do what Honorable Ollis is saying. I've just asked who secretary that meeting is urgent, that you yourself and the right people from your side and the right people from the Department of Home Affairs must come in front of the committee. But there are things that are only your things, BCEA. OHS, have nothing to do with home affairs. And those are issues that we are really interested in. You will not come back Yes, again, and be generous. However, I should give you an opportunity to tell us whether you did go and visit the workers of the support. Is this true? Is this what we have with the management? And you must stop listening to the management and not go to workers. Do sit with the management and bring coffee back and then come and report on what the management is saying and not go to workers. That's not what you want. And please then, as you were asked to tell us whether you have seen this, what has been reported that is really taking place, and be honest with us. If you don't know us well, they don't know.
Thank you, sir. Yes, Mr. Makuvelo went there and did to follow up. What she's reporting is true. They went there.
Tomorrow, and without you, we'll find the conditions of workers as we are told, 100%. There will be no saying this is what the management has said. You have a proof, it is a fact that the workers have been given what went on, where you have retracted your prohibition.
Yes, what is written there is true and correct.
Okay.
Yes.
And which farm is this where you retracted this convention notice? Which farm is that?
Shumi.
So all is well in Shumi. We can go anywhere, every corner. All is well there because the notice has been structured. Nothing that we find out of order. So that's the work that we are getting from the department today. Sir?
Thank you, I'm the person. Just to follow up on that, the provision notice that was revoked was specifically for the machines. So, as Mr. Kova indicated, we can vouch that the follow-up inspection was done just for those four machines that was revoked. But the same farm, Shumi Farm, was issued with a lot of contraventions, which are still under the 60 days. So we still have to go back there and do a follow-up. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. I've taken note and very seriously what the Chairperson said, and I'll also discuss it with the Director General. I did indicate, Honorable Chairperson, that the single focus also made us to do whatever we did and to see to work until very late to try and go through the reports that they produced and that are in their position to prepare for this meeting. And I think, Honorable Chairperson, what we also did not want is to give you facts and information, which is why we insisted that the DVG, that's the deputy responsible for the Mover Center, all the way from Malelane had to dive and be on the last flight last night, and the OHS inspector to be with us and Ms. Chuban, because we wanted to avoid precisely what you said, and that it are very specific issues because they accompanied you during the visit. They can also answer those questions without saying that we don't take responsibility. We take full responsibility for all the things that came up during this visit, because it is our responsibility to also assist them. Whereas you also have the relevant DDGs here that I insisted that they should form part of this presentation. And they are also going to assist colleagues here in answering questions, because some of the issues are policy matters that goes through the process. So hence we will share questions. I think the questions that are very specific that were raised by honourable members that relate to the province, I would again ask the colleagues from the province to deal with those questions. I think a number of honourable members were on this question of the dismissed workers to clarify the reasons for their dismissal, whether it was due to the visit, the details, for instance, with regard to the role that the department played, whether we should have intervened or not, and the status currently beyond the issue that was raised around the remuneration, whether the question of reinstatement and all the disclaimers. And I think there were also related questions around the follow-ups before I allow other colleagues to come in. So I think if colleagues, Ms. Chibane, the Deputy Director of Labour Centre, Mr. Cousin, and Mr. Cousin, if they can respond to those questions before we come in.
Thank you so much, Mr. Matoba. Mr. Matoba, we don't find a situation where you only come here when you have gone to oversight and then you only look for information. You have managers who are paid to get bonuses, who are in the office every day. We have subordinates who are under those managers in all those labor centers. We have people with specific tasks who are dealing with certain issues. And those people are going there every day from Monday to Friday. What reports do you get in headquarters on a daily basis as to what has been done, what visits have been made, what is the status, that information should be in your fingertips. You should not be dislocated if your people were working or doing their work. You should not be dislocated when you are not ready and then are asked to do something else, because you've got labor centers everywhere and those people have specific jobs. Unless you are saying you are not getting information on a daily basis as to what is this money, what is this person doing. If they go there and no one is forcing them back, as they are there to get to account on what they are doing, this is what you are going to get. And I'm saying to you, to the right side, and it's good that you are the acting DG today because you've been here. And if this is the modus operandi in the department, you are also to be blamed because you were there, you were driving them for a long time. So it does not impress us because you had to change. If people are reporting every day, you would say, last week they visited, the report that we have in front of us, we could not go this week, but this is what the report that we have from last week. You should be having a daily report. If your money was going to the office, are also not getting daily reports, then we are the wrong people in office. You can't be dislocated. So that excuse is really not acceptable. Please, answer your questions.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. On the first question regarding CVMA, the Department of Labor has a working relationship with the CVMA. We did not take over the matter from the CVMA. The first point of entry for most employees, especially the vulnerable employees, they can't differentiate what is a CVMA matter or a Department of Labor matter or even other departments. They will come to us. So when they come to us, we have the CVMA forms with us in the front desk. We give them the forms and then they complete them. We advise them on how to complete them. And then we refer the matter to the CCMA. CCMA takes over. So that is the assistance that we gave to those dismissed workers. We didn't take over. But then we followed out on what was the outcome of the matter. And the CCMA shared the report with us. On immigrants, we must tell the portfolio committee what the employer must do if the employees will use. Okay. Thank you. sorry, Honorable Chair. The third one was we put more focus on OHS contravention. Before the oversight visit, we conducted inspections 29/01/15 at Bono Farm. We conducted an inspection at Tomahawk on the 8th of October 2015. We conducted an inspection at Umbaba on the 5th of August 2015. The other one is a new farm that broke away from another farm, so it wasn't in our plans for inspection, because we have identified a need to prioritize wholesale and retail manufacturing and part of the agriculture sector that we hadn't inspected before, because we've got a high volume of emerging farmers in Maelane, and we are trying to advocate them on labor legislation requirements. And then those are the inspections that we conducted prior. And when our inspectors go to conduct the inspections, they ask for documents that is required by the format of our report. And they also interview a sample of employees. So our inspection report indicates the employees that they would have interviewed. And in this case, they did interview the employees. And at the time of inspection, the employers were found to be complying with BCEA, especially the sectoral determination on farm workers. The other one, it was more of a comment that the portfolio committee needs a briefing by Home Affairs. You will take it.
Maybe, Honorable Chairperson, let me deal with the other questions that are not necessarily linked to the visit. There was an issue around how does the employer distinguish and dismiss a person who did not declare as to whether he or she has a visa. I think currently, the issue here, Honorable Chairperson, is that at the point of employment, the employer has got an obligation to check that the person has the relevant identification documents. Now, I don't think it is. In some cases, there may be incidences, I don't know, but in most cases, because you have to register a person for UI and for all those other things, if at a point of employment there was a thorough screening of the people, and it will be detected as to whether these people have the necessary documentation or not. But we do know that the issue that the honourable members referred to, and that has to do with the agreement that South Africa signed with Mozambique and Zimbabwe. And it also applies to the Lesotho and Swaziland workers. Now, that dispensation on the permit system had a number of days, and there was an expiry period in terms of those permits. And I think, Honorable Chairperson and members, at the point when you invite Department of Home Affairs, they will be able to clarify this issue much better. But we are serving on the Immigration Board. Department of Labor is part of the Immigration Board, and we're familiar with those terms, and we know that the dispensation has provided for certain permits, and those that have expired, they do have a date, and that is why the holders of the permits were supposed to go and do application for renew. The difficulty, though, that we also know is around the refugees, because refugees are granted refugee status. There's a question around whether refugees, once they're in the country, the refugee status allows them to work or not. And that is where you find difficulties in some cases where people having refugee permits are now in employment without the necessary things. But we welcome the session with Home Affairs because we are working with them in this matter, and they also serve jointly with us in the SADC committee of joint committee of ministers of labour and ministers of interior and home affairs, which is looking at the movement of people across our borders. There was a question around the planned interventions without tendering. I accept that the observation is correct. Maybe what we can do, there are some activities, for instance, the information campaigns, those that IEF has scheduled, and I will ask Ms. Fikisha to talk about it, because I know that there's one in February, and there was a question on clarifying the specific seven information sessions that the province conducted. So we do have time frames in other areas, but in other areas, like I said, the question of housing in the agricultural sector is something that I did indicate that only this week started on the 31st when we had a summit in George and invited the Minister of Agriculture, that there was an agreement for us to follow up, and we will be doing that during the course of next week to get the officials, especially in agriculture, to know what is happening in the maritime, so that we can constitute a task team with the main settlement, because the issue is quite urgent, and we do agree with yourselves. The issue around the strengthening of our education campaign, I did indicate that in the presentation, and Mr. Vigil Sifford can comment more on this issue. It has been a debate, and I'm sure honorable members will remember that during the host hearing and the spikes that happened in the agricultural sector, there was a call for us to extend the existing funding that we have under strengthening of civil society to fund a number of NGOs in Kunzi and others that are helping us in the education of farm workers. And I did indicate that we also have a challenge on board members in that the unions that are registered with us are not necessarily focusing on domestic workers, on the security, on this, that is the farm worker, because of the past distances, etc. And that is why we're looking at other measures, because we believe that even though unions are there, when it comes to vulnerable workers, there is very little service that is provided. We have invited them. Some of them have been part of our invisos. We even provided desks for them to recruit domestic workers so that they can join FEDUSA, COSATU affiliated, NACTU affiliated unions, and they have failed us. And Mr. Sifil can talk more on that issue, including on the protocol on the access to farms and its application, because I think there must have been something wrong, or either the officials in the department, or maybe the farmer who stopped you access, the extent which either he or she is familiar with the protocol on access to farms, I may not be sure, because often these documents are signed and agreed to with your AgriSA, your NAFUS, your TAU-SA, etc. And our expectations are that once these agreements have been agreed to, they then take those documents and share them with their affiliates, and we will be taking up this matter. I'm not sure, Mr. Speaker, when the next meeting with the agricultural people is going to take place, but certainly we will take it up with them, because we cannot have a protocol signed and then when one of their members know that or don't know that there's a protocol and deny people such as yourself from the necessary access. I think we will follow it aggressively and make sure that they clarify the status of this document. And maybe I wanted to ask colleagues. I'm not familiar with the I did say on the workshop that as a collective here, we do accept responsibility for everything that colleagues are doing in terms of the reports and audit. However, bringing them here is also twofold. It is to assist us in the process. But sometimes when we is to share the pain. Because sometimes when we say to the colleagues we want reports must be accurate, they must be on time. They think we're joking. By being in Parliament and also experiencing how you work with us, I think word will go also to other labor centers. My managers will accept the responsibility, but they are also managers who need to also assist us in doing our work. And I think that is why the exposure was not to run away from the responsibility, but was also to ensure that you get information that is direct, fresh, and from the people that accompanied you in the visit. I think that is the context within which we brought them, and that is why we are also expecting them to also clarify the specifics that were raised during our visit without running away from our responsibility on the chairperson.
In other words, you would give an instruction and then the provinces or those who are county officers try to do it in a different way, not follow instructions. So there are times when they defy an instruction and do it their own way. So what is that? We park that one. Answer your questions.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'll start with the question of the gentleman that was amongst the delegation that went to Umbaba. As far as I know, I was also not aware of that person. And he introduced himself to me as a member of parliament. I only found out later that he is from the union. But I will also check with Mr. Khoza if Honorable Jefferson allows me to indicate whether the Labour Centre invited him or not. And on the issue of entry to Umbaba, when I got out of the car to check what was happening, the reason that I was given was this person introduced himself as a member of parliament. That's when I found out that he is not. And then the security guards said that we know him. He's not a member of parliament. That is the reason why we are not allowing you to come in. But the Labour Centre informed the employer that you were coming and they were ready for us. They just wanted us to sign the register. But an inspector, they normally don't give our inspectors problems where to access the funds. Any inspector has the powers to go in and inspect a place of work. Can I ask you to indicate if they invited him or not?
Thank you, Chair. As the honourable members have just said, that this event, it seems it happened in Amhlushwa, and then Amhlushwa, then we saw the Portfolio Committee coming to the venue of him. As the manager of Nkomazi in Maliland, I was shocked also to hear that the Procurement Committee in Mandela Mfusho, with the unions discussing issues of labor, meanwhile I was in Manila not being informed. So, and I couldn't jump and go to the portfolio committee without being invited. So I was surprised. Then I know him. He's from the union. And he was part from the RSR, Robin Safety Representative, a project funded by the European Union. So, to him, he said he want to expose UNAP on our expense. So, but he didn't invite us. So, when he comes on your visit, and anyway, we didn't have any way to talk or whatever, we thought, because he was in Amfusha, he's also part of you, as I say, that he arranged the trade for the portfolio committee. We were shocked also. So, that's all I can say about him.
Listening to the name, okay, say something a little. Jack, I'm amazed that you have given this information. Number one, we are told that at the gate, this person gave incorrect information by saying he is a member of parliament. That has never brought to our attention that you are struggling at this age because some body posed as a member of parliament. But when Mr. Khoza chips in, instead of clarifying why this person was there, because remember the constituent of parliament came in the Tukumbi. We had no Exaka as parliament. We were having the Tukumbis there. So there's no way that it can be alleged that that person was coming back. And also remember, Mr. Khoza cannot say he was amazed when he was not invited to our meeting. We are not supposed to report to him when we are there because we are doing our own oversight, not his oversight. And we must have the assurance of having sat and discussed with unions since he does not know. Our reporting point in the visit was the office of the Department of Labor. So I think there was carelessness in dealing with this particular gentleman because it was known from the gate, but it was never brought to our attention or dealt with on the spot because had known that it had come to the attention of them that this person is posing as a parliamentarian, who was supposed to be stopped right at the gate without allowing him to go with us. And every time we arrived, he was in the Department of Labor. He never came with us. So he must not be alleged that parliament knew about that person. And I think a follow-up still needs to be done on that issue as to why did he join us. If, for instance, Mr. Khoza knew that that person had issues with one of the farms we were visiting, why did he keep quiet when somebody was writing on our own program to achieve his own intentions?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I think Honorable Zeloniwe is right. We need, I think we need to know more about this person, because I think I know the name, I've heard of this name of this James. And I don't want to say anything now, but I know I've heard of this name. But it's very funny, it is very strange though, that James was so selective in telling, introducing himself as who he is. We don't know, none of us. I think if some of my members would have known, I would say maybe because it was not, he spoke to the honorable other people, but it never came. And we have known about that on the spot, would have corrected. And in any case, fortunately, in that visit,
We did not give a union any status. Whoever wanted to speak of unions, we stopped them. So, I will approve as to who says yes. Can we pass members now? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. On the issue of the business, whether it is directly linked to the oversight dealt by the Portfolio Committee or not, I will refer to the award from the CVMA. When the employees got to the CVMA, they indicated that they spoke to the Portfolio Committee and the TV crew that was there, and they were identified by their supervisor to participate in the interview. And then on the 24th of September, they were called to the manager's office and they were questioned about the interview. There's no detail about how they were questioned. And then they said, as a result of that questioning regarding the interview, their services was terminated. And when they initially contacted the CCMA, they sought reinstatement of their release. And when the award was finally made, the commissioner indicated that the dismissal was grossly unfair. But however, made that award that they should be compensated for 4 months, starting from November. Currently, I'm just not sure if from the CCMA I'm allowed to share the award. But I'll find out and then we can let me share it with the portfolio. Okay. If I've got the award with me, we can share with the portfolio committee. So further information can be given by the CCMA as to whether the dismissed employees were happy or are happy with the award that was given, because they initially sought written statement, but they later settled for the 4 months pay. I think we do have the right to summon the commissioner, because we can't have workers who are going for Christmas and their kids don't even have a cent because of what is it. So that commissioner, necessarily, we need to summon this come before we run, so that we really know what really went wrong there, because we are told that the farmer was not there to protect himself. Now, we don't know then how, if the workers went as a statement, which is the right thing to do, how did they not come to 4 months, what is 4 months? I'm sure they've given up. If it's 4 months when they wanted a statement, they have no powers to go further. So I think the name of us, we some of those people to come here with immediate effect. Yes, we want that particular commissioner in all of them. Thank you.
I'll ask Mr. Vigil to speak on this protocol on access, and maybe he is also in charge of the CCMA, and the strengthening of civil society fund on that.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to the members. The issue that I'm required to respond to, Chair, are generalist in nature, and is not particularly to link to this case in and by themselves. And therefore my response will be in that regard. One is the issue on the protocol on access to funds. We in consultation with the agricultural unions, the employee organizations specifically, as well as the union at the stage, developed the protocol on access to farms, particularly against the issue of violence on farms and the fears that farmers had in relationship to people just accessing the farms without any, any recourse or any right in terms of access to the farms. And one of the things that we've said to the farmers is people with unlimited access, which would be your officials in terms of law or in terms of practice, those that have to request access to the farms. And that's the distinction that the protocol on access to farms essentially makes. So that people who have direct access and unfettered access should have the unfettered access. The one point that we said is that because farms are so far located from the offices, that at least you try to make an arrangement for a meeting so that you don't spend unnecessary resources to go to the farm. And that's one of the issues that we've raised in the protocol on access to farms. Insofar as it relates to the protocol on access to farms. The second thing that I think that I'm required to address is the Strengthening Civil Society Fund. In relation to the Strengthening Civil Society Fund, we have an amount of money that we put aside to assist unions, but also assist organizations that would address the plight of vulnerable workers where they don't have access to unions. If we look at the extent of unionization, the agricultural sector, which centers around 4.5% of agricultural workers that are unionized, and it differs in terms of provinces. The first point of call for farm workers are not necessarily unions because of the level of organization, the level of unionization. The first point of call would obviously definitively be advice officers. So what we want to do with the HSF is to direct the funds so that we empower those organizations to assist us in furthering the aims of the department. So the amount of money that we have is divided up amongst these who apply in terms of the application process for this. The bigger portion of the money goes to the teller, because we have an agreement with them, and we'll be trying to address that issue so that we have more advice officers across the country in order to assist, or not only advice officers, but institutions that would assist in furthering the aims of the department in this regard. That is as it relates to the Strengthening Civil Society Fund. With respect to the CCMA, I might just point out here that an order has been made by the commissioner whether it is a reinstatement or whether it is 4 months payment. In order to address this issue, workers, if there's a concern, workers will have to go through the labor court to address whether they are dissatisfied and whether they need to have this award challenge. And I think that is the process that we go that we need to proceed going forward. So if the CCMA commissioner comes to the portfolio committee, in order to address the findings of the commission at a state, it still has to go through the ordinary process that has been set out in law. And whilst it's important that the committee is informed about the basis of the decision, unfortunately, in order to address or change the outcome of the hearing, it would have to go through the labor court. And I thought it's important that I raise these issues too. Thank you, Chair.
I should also ask Ms. Nanak also talk about the seminars. But I don't think Honorable Chairperson, the comments around the CCMA is taking away any right at all for the Labour Portfolio Committee or for the Portfolio Committee on Labour to summon the director and some of the commissioners, especially in terms of the judgment, because there are cases where, in some cases, they add, they are also human, and I think in the process of engagement, they should also touch on some of the issues, because we understand the issue is that you can't have members of the public trusting members of parliament in with their problems, and then the employer in the process ending up dismissing them, which should not happen. And why did the a finding reserved in the compass section rather than the reinstatement and what is the context which that was sent. But I think if there's anything on our part we can facilitate that, we normally work with the secretary to make sure that all secretary bodies of the department come and clarify whatever is in line with the mandate and so on. So I thought that Ms. Fiki, so she also talked to the seminars, because the lead issue is around educating also employers, and we specifically indicated that especially in the area that you visited, they should come up with a program, and although I did not mention the time frames, they have a series of time frames that they are going to be working the province in conducting basic conditions of employment, sectoral determination, and a whole range of other campaigns to get both employers and workers to understand their rights, employers to understand their obligations and so on. And that is being coordinated from the head of the site. I will have to comment on that as well.
Before the session that you want to speak, Honorable America, wants to say something on the semi-thing, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually agree with Acting DJ in terms of our responsibility in interrogating the manner in which the Commissioner had executed his duties. Whilst it is correct that the official is saying is that the work can only be challenged in the right court and be reviewed, I'm of the view that particularly it's a default judgment that what's the rationality and what is the basis that the Commissioner has arrived at the conclusion that the relationship between the employer and the employee is irretrievably sort of damaged, that it cannot reinstate the employees specifically if the employees have asked for reinstatement. And then it is my view that he must have a rational sort of reason why he did not, because he has an obligation to exercise the preference of the employees, particularly in this instance, where this is the default judgment. So if he has not done that, he was completely negligent. He cannot get away with it if it is true. And we need to deal with it. Thank you.
Chair, I think I'm also of the view that this is an unfair judgment. And I want to formally propose that let us request the intervention of the legal section of Parliament in this particular matter, so that over and above us talking to the director and commissioner, but the legal section of Parliament should take this matter up, because this is hampering on our operations. Where else will we be trusted as a portfolio committee when we go and do oversight if after our visit people are being victimized? And just I'm standing exactly where Honorable America is standing. One party is present, it prevents this case, but the judgment does not talk to the relief sought by the people who took the matter to CCMA. Thank you.
Let's pass on the issue. We need those people urgently to come to Parliament, and then we will speak to them. On the other side, Zorane, you must talk to the legal section so that they follow the case, both as Wahine. But we need them here, urgently, not alone, with the DG. Whoever is DG must come with that crew. Honorable Bakri, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we must distribute the award, because it's a public document anyway. And that probably will tell two quarters of the story. Here we're busy giving judgment on an award which we haven't seen. So that sounds a bit silly. So let's have a look at that. I've got no problem with you bringing the parties here, but let's have a look at it, because that will tell us what is in the award, and we can even get the recording if we want. That's also a public document. It's public and open. Every deliberation of the CCMA is open to the public, let alone Parliament, but to everyone. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that information, but everything that we're doing here, nothing that is stupid. All these endeavors, yours included, that we must get this, is important. Because here, the bottom line is that people were dismissed after our visit. It was not before, it was after. So that's what must be done. So can we pass to the other questions?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. We will give the award to the Secretariat to circulate. And on the issue of a mysterious Mr. James, I think the province will also compile a report, because even to us it's disturbing that if other people who are not part of the interest join this visit, they can create problems even with the organizations that we work with, so that strict measures are implemented to check that people who form part of the entourage are people that we expect and not any other person that is not part of it. So we will also look into the question of a report on what the circumstances that led to that person being there, so that we are furnished with the report on that issue.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Chief. I'm going to respond to the question on advocacy sessions, to be specific on the dates or the time frame. We've got in November on the 10th to the 12th, we've got an HBA seminar, Hazardous Biological Agents Seminar in KZN, and it's a national project that is trying to address the issues that were picked up during the visits that we had last year. And specifically, we've invited the Department of Health to come and be part of this initiative. The second one, in trying to address the call that was made by residents on the xenophobic attack, we've tried to arrange in court four, that is from January to March, Operation Sierra, wherein we are going to have firstly the brief inspection on farming, agriculture, and other related problematic sectors in Mpumalanga specifically, in trying to address these issues. So we'll be having the brief inspection followed by the education seminar in that area. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, I think that the last question is an overarching question that was prompted by yourself. And it has to do with the 60 days and the follow-up inspections. And maybe we may need to get guidance, but certainly from where we are sitting, it's clear that the follow-up inspection, not only in the four farms, and I think Ms. Mwiba and Ms. Nanga, I thought she was going to touch on that issue. Because we will have to make sure that even before the expiry of the 60 days, I think there's an important point that you raised, Chairperson, that in some cases there is no need to hide behind the law to say that it says 60 days and therefore we can only conduct follow-up inspections after those 60 days. We'll make arrangements with the team, have discussions with them, and then if it's a capacity issue, look at how best to assist them to make sure that they follow up on those farms that you visited and to look at the extent of the farmer implementing the corrective measures, so that come end of the 60 days, we can then move to the next step of making those conservation orders to be the order of court, because I'm sure you can't, as members of parliament, visit farms on the legislation that you pass, and at the end of the day, we see the delivery around the adherence to that. So that will take up with the oversight and the DDG inspection enforcement to make sure that part is addressed and that the report on the outcome of the funds is much more better and detailed, and maybe we'll get guidance around the dates in terms of the presentation of that report, so that or even if the portfolio committee may not see that we take it upon ourselves to make sure the head report is compiled and submitted to ourselves. Thank you.
Any more questions to the answers? Are we done with questions? Members, are all your questions answered? Yes. Okay. Any member wants to say something before we adjourn this part? Honorable Fantastic.
Thank you, Jay. It's just one observation that I made, that after correspondence from our side to the district where we planned the oversight visit, the department went into oversight visits, knowing very well that there is a 60-day period, and knowing very well that our intention is to perform visits. So I would really like to caution the department not to do things that way, because they're really making it difficult for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Pastor. I don't see any hands from members. And we think that we were able to engage with you. And I think maybe this discussion has assisted, because if we would have waited for longer period for you to come and report on this, it would have been worse. But at least now that you've told yourself what is that you want, what is that you must do in terms of follow-up, things are going to be different. Not only in Mpumalanga, Mr. Morodowa, we are not going to be able to visit all these farms in the country. Not only. So from now on, we just go to any farm and expect that things will be different. Any farm, we can go to Eastern Cape, we can go to KZN, and we promise you, we wanted to be with you deliberately so that all these things that we see, you see them. And we can talk to you. We are not going to talk to you again. We just go to where we're supposed to go. And we expect questions from you. Nobody will say to us, does not know. Because there is no area here in the country that does not have a labor center. And where there is no labor center, those people are attached somewhere else. So there is no place that really you are not covered. So we expect that all these labor centers are up to standard. And the issue of workers, all these workers, farm workers, construction workers, and many others, every information is not fingertips. Remember that there are people who are paid to go into the office, wake up in the morning, and they say they go to work. At the end of the day, those people must say, what is that we're doing the whole day in that office? And they are not asking for that. And if your regional, your HODs, the people who are responsible for the offices as well, they go to the meeting or they go to, what is your head office? And they don't know what is happening in their offices. They don't have a program, what is what, who is doing what, and on this day. I still say that we have the wrong people in the office. It means that we are not going to achieve what we want to achieve at the end of the day. For those viewers, thanks for coming. We'll meet with you soon. Your side of the meeting is agenda. You can leave. 3 minutes. You, the minute here, members, I see that you want to run. You see you running, but only how many? It's only one set. One set. Yeah. So please don't go away. Minutes of 21. Just look at them.